Well, hello again and welcome to another edition of Authors Audio, and I'm your host, Jake D. Steele. Remember, you can listen to all our interviews by visiting our website at www.authorsaudio.com and clicking on the listen icon on the homepage or visiting our archives section. Now, today I have with me a very special person and teacher. Some of you may know him and some of you may not. His name is Drunvalo Melchizedek. His work is spiritual but not religious in the traditional sense. At the center of all his teaching is love, but combined with special, important understanding. He started teaching a very ancient knowledge of something called the teachings of the flower of life, information he gathered from many levels of teachers. His workshop introduces the Right Eye of Horus Mystery School teachings of sacred geometry and is also combined with a very powerful breath and meditation technique called the Merkaba meditation. Drunvalo's information was given to him from 1972 to the 1980s by Thoth, best known as the Egyptian deity of inner wisdom pertaining to science, mathematics, and literature. His books, The Ancient Secrets of the Flower of Life, Volumes 1 and 2, are truly amazing and full of very exact understanding of the Flower of Life work, which I highly recommend. His latest book, The Serpent of Light, is another amazing gift of new information that I believe people will find both exciting and instructive. Essentially, very recently, there has been a shift of the Earth's spiritual or Kundalini power, which moves from the center of the Earth to a point on its surface. It is now moved from Tibet and India to northern Chile and Peru. The shift is not just about location, but also about energy. This new energy has shifted from the male side to the female side of energy. These changes occur back and forth every 13,000 years. The great spiritual work that has been nurtured and expanded with the Tibetan and Indian cultures is now been completed. A new reign has just begun in Chile and Peru, and it soon will affect the hearts of all mankind. And here to talk with us about this amazing information, I'd like to welcome to Authors Audio, Drunvalo Melchizedek. And it's an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jake. It's an honor for me to be here too. Thank you.
I got to tell you, after reading your book, The Serpent of Light and Beyond, to 2012, that I think I maybe should be calling you Drunvalo Jones or Indiana Melchizedek, as you've really been on an amazing adventure around the world, talking to shamans and angels, and especially the Mayan elders, who are all working to help celebrate the great changes that are happening on the Earth right now and are soon to come.
Yeah, they are. They actually have prepared to do something very special, something they haven't done in 526 years. They are in the process right now of writing a book for the world, and this is going to be pretty exciting when this comes out. They believe next year they will give their prophecy for 2012, but they also are going to, what's more important according to them, is they're going to tell us how to be during this time, because they said that the last time we went through this particular change, most of the world died, and they said there was no reason for it, none whatsoever. It's just that we weren't prepared and we didn't understand things, and so they feel a responsibility, and they're writing a book that will tell us exactly how to be during these changes that are coming so that we can continue.
It's very interesting, and the book describes all this in detail. Perhaps for the very few people that don't know your original story, that you really have come into Earth, if I can say it that way, from another place, to do this special work. And maybe you could just describe that very briefly for our audience.
Of course, these kinds of things aren't really accepted by most of life, and I understand that. But yes, I did come from another level of existence. And I have full memory of every single step of the way and every minute of the way, all the way down to this point. And it's not unusual in life for these things to take place. We're just not on Earth. We're not familiar with a lot of these kinds of movements. But it's not really a big deal. It's just something that life does in order to continue. Melchizedek consciousness, which there are millions and millions and millions in this universe, in this galaxy alone, there's over 10 million people that are connected to that level of consciousness. In order to become Melchizedek, you have to be able to pass through all 144 dimensional levels and remain conscious and aware. And then when that takes place, when somebody does that, then life takes them and uses them. Very much like the body uses a white blood cell in a way, but a little different. And then whenever an area or a region or a planet of space and time and dimension has a problem in the dimensional work, then Melchizedek consciousness sends somebody to help make that change smoother. And that's why I'm here.
The interesting thing that I've gleaned from reading your work and so on and seeing the odd video too is that you are a constant student and a constant teacher. You seem to do the both all the time. You're constantly growing. And that's that's probably what keeps the whole process moving for you.
I could not use my other level of awareness when I came here, and that was on purpose. I needed to go through all the steps from the beginning to end so that I knew here and now and consciously what would be needed, what everyone else is going to be needed. I couldn't step in with some other level. And there have been many people who have come here who have had to go through that same procedure. But that's, yeah, it's true. I'm constantly learning.
Well, let's start talking about your new amazing book called The Serpent of Light. And it talks about the movement, the special movement of the Earth's Kundalini, which really moves every 13,000 years, apparently, according to your book.
It moves to a new location on the surface of the Earth.
Yes.
And then it stays there for 13,000 years, and then a little less, it's just like a few years less, and then it moves to another location.
Right.
And that's what's just happened.
That's what's just happened. Now, in another 13,000 years, it was in Tibet.
Well, 13,000 years ago, it moved from another location to the western mountains of Tibet. And then whoever was there, we believe we know who it was, built a huge white pyramid over that spot, which is the explorers that found that said it was bigger than the Great Pyramid. And they said it looked like it was brand new and made of all white stones. And what's interesting about that is that the thing that they were finding interesting is that never in the history of the Earth has civilization ever been there. Ever. And so there's no trace of life ever having lived in that region ever. And so they're trying to understand why would such an incredible pyramid be built out in the middle of nowhere? Well, it's because of what was under that pyramid, mm-hmm. The energy, the connection straight to the center of the Earth. And that is the reason why Tibet and India and part of China were so enlightened. It, from people like Lao Tzu and the Dalai Lama and all the Hindu philosophy and everything that's come out, mm-hmm. It's because that energy, that awakening energy, was focused on there, and it was radiating out almost like an antenna to the surrounding area. But that's no longer there now. It's moved, and it will never, probably, ever be back there again. It now has moved to a location in the high up in the Andes Mountains in northern Chile.
In northern Chile, that's the area it is now.
Yes.
So what you're saying, Drunvalo, is that whole region now is going to be blessed with a whole new energy for the next 13,000 years, correct?
Yes. And the energy changes, too. The cycle that it's tied to is called the precession of the equinoxes. And this, the precession of the equinoxes is not just a repeating cycle over and over. It's a spiral. And so every time that it comes around, it's in a new location, and it has a new vibration. It's very much like the DNA. And so the energy that the Kundalini of the Earth, what it's radiating now, is a new spirituality. It's hard for us to imagine this, because when we understand spirituality, we believe it's like classic, it's forever. But there are changes to this, and it's going to be really, for me, it's going to be very interesting to find out what Mother Earth has to teach us at this point, because she's going to go beyond everything that we've ever learned from Tibetan Buddhism or Hinduism or any of the Chinese philosophy or any of that. It's going to go way beyond that. And we're just going to have to wait and find out.
Explain why 2012, the winter solstice, December the 21st, has its great importance in this story. And you also mentioned February the 19th or 18th, 2013. The central part of your story is also about the transfer of power from the masculine to the feminine at this time. Is that right?
That's right. The precession of the equinoxes, I think most people know it, but I'll give a quick explanation, is that there is a wobble in the Earth's axis. If you just looked at the tip of the, like it was a stick sticking out of the Earth and it was spinning on it, well, there's a wobble, like a top slowing down. And that wobble to go around one time is 25,920 years, just a little less than 26,000 years. And what the ancients say, and you can go back into the Vedas 6,000 years ago into Tibetan or Hindu philosophy, and they talk about how there are ages in there, which they call yugas, and these ages have a certain texture to it that is different than the one before that one. And there is how to say all these things exactly in a really quick form. But there is a reversal of the polarity at this time. In the last 13,000 years, it was in the male part of the cycle, or the polarity. And on December 21st, 2012, or approximately at that time, it shifts over to the female. And what this means is the males have pretty much controlled the destiny of the Earth for the last 13,000 years. But that's about to completely change. And it will be the female that takes us back into the light for the next 13,000 years. And so we will see, right now you see mostly male spiritual teachers with a few female teachers. And most of those have come in the last 20 years. But what you're going to see is a reversal. You're going to see female spiritual leaders emerge from around the world, and especially in South America, and with less and less male spiritual teachers emerging. Within 100 years from now, it'll be almost all females.
That's very interesting. The feminine has so much to give, and it's been, in some ways you could say it's been sort of kept down a little bit, but now we're going to see a complete revolution in the feminine.
It's the wisdom of the Earth by doing this. In 13,000 years from now, what happens is the female gets too controlling, too much involved in ways that no longer work. And it will switch to the male, and the male will basically save us from the female going to the far end of her nature. And that's what's happening now. When the male comes down another 13,000 years where we are now, the male is too controlling, and it's on all kinds of levels. We have the wars and all the situations that are going on now that cannot be solved except by the female coming in and taking over.
The world today, we're dealing with the mega military projects, and there's no consultation over confrontation. It seems that confrontation has reached new heights, and that everything for the leaders, a lot of leaders, not all leaders, but it seems to be that they want to solve everything through confronting the other person and saying, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, and all this nonsense. But this is what you're saying, is this the consciousness of consultation and bringing in new ideas and new ways of looking at things, so that problems are really solutions just waiting to happen?
Well, the feminine way is very different than the way the world is being run right now. And it would include that, but it would include a lot of ways that are not normally what we consider logical, because the female works on a different path. And this way is needed. I mean, right now, we are in a technological world. We are in a world that is functioning in a certain kind of way and moving in a certain kind of way, but it's male-dominated. And all we're saying is what the ancient world is saying, is that at this time, we will change. We will switch to the female. Her ideas, her ways of looking at things, will become dominant in the world. In Chile, they had a female president for the first time in their history. And then right next door in Argentina, they had one. Germany just had a female president for the first time in their history. And we almost had one here. And almost, but could now, in the future. And that's completely new. That you know, 20 years ago, that would have been unthinkable. But because the energies are changing, it's no longer unthinkable. And it is the nature of what is about to emerge. If it doesn't, we won't make it. This is what we know from looking at other places in the universe.
Yes.
If this reversal of energy did not take place and the male continued on in the way they were going, we would just end up killing the whole world, and it doesn't work. And Mother Earth understands this, and that's why she's shifting the power from the male over to the female. It's a good thing.
And a lot of people would listen to you saying that, and they'd say, Mother Earth is conscious of this, you know?
It's a very alive and very conscious. She knows every single thought that every single person on Earth is having. She's aware of the whole situation on all levels. This is what the indigenous people all over the world know. It's not a matter of do they just believe it. They know it as fact. They're able to communicate with her and are able to demonstrate and prove this is true. But we, as are the industrial world, just sees the Earth as a big rock, just, you know, something that we live on, not understanding that the Earth itself is conscious and alive. Though it's a very interesting subject, because if you go into the indigenous world and you go back, say, 30 years ago, all over the world, they saw her as a little child about 2 years old or 3 years old. And the reason was because 526 years ago, there was a shifting of the energies in the Earth, and Mother Earth basically went unconscious. And not completely, she just became like a little child. And this is, they all talk about this. This is a worldwide phenomena. The Mayans have it dated exactly to the minute when it took place in their calendar. If you go into Japan, there they see this consciousness as called Amaterasu, which is the light of the sun, and or the light of the world. And 526 years ago, the light of the world went inside the Earth, and we went into darkness. This is when the Illuminati was born, and all kinds of things began to take place because we were approaching the end of this cycle. But now, as of about 15 years ago or so, the Earth's energy field, the light body, was reactivated. She came out of the darkness, and in Japan they understand this now, and so do the Mayans. And she is now no longer a child. If you talk to the indigenous people, they see her as a woman at about 25 or 30 years old and fully conscious. And this all happened in just the last few years. And so she is deciding the course of events now from consciousness according to the indigenous world.
Now, your help with all this and your involvement in all this, throughout the book you talk about many ceremonies to bring all this about, but there's one about the eagle and the condor,
yeah.
And that, at that time, I think it was 2001.
That's February 19th, 2001.
The Serpent of Light actually had a little problem getting to where it was going, oddly enough, because of the Panama Canal.
That's right. In 1959, it came out of that pyramid in the Western Mountains at the same moment when the Dalai Lama left Tibet and went into India.
Yes.
And it actually followed behind him, which was, we're not sure if that was a coincidence or what, but that's what happened. And what happens, what we do know, is that when the Serpent of Light, it's called a Serpent of Light because it, if you can see it, and many people can, it looks like a long, long tube of light.
Yes.
And it moves kind of like a snake when it moves. It does the same thing when it moves up the human body, up the spine. It moves very much like a snake also in a sine wave signature. But that energy, that Serpent of Light, usually moves all over the surface of the Earth, literally everywhere on all the continents. And it doesn't move every square inch, but it connects with all the energies all over the world. And then it eventually picks a spot somewhere, and it coils down into the Earth, and it stays there for another 13,000 years. But when it was coming in from Tibet, it moved all over India and Nepal and China and all over in there, and it kept moving. Eventually, it moved all over the world, and the last place, it came out of Alaska, and it came down into Canada and moved all over there and all over the United States and all over Mexico through Belize and Guatemala and kept going on down into El Salvador and Honduras and Nicaragua and Costa Rica and Panama. But when it got to Panama, it was not able to move across the Panama Canal. And this was in the the late 60s. And this was a shock to the indigenous world. It was a shock to the entire indigenous world except for one tribe, and that was the Mayans, because they could see in their Mayan calendar that this was going to take place. And it stopped everything, and it just sat there for a long time. It was the indigenous people also believe that this is the reason why Colombia went into war, because right on the other side is Panama, and in Colombia it was like constipation, and it caused basically a psychic war that went on there for over 40 years, as well as a physical war. But eventually the Mayans said that this could not be repaired or could not be fixed until all the indigenous people of the South America, Central America, and North America could work together. And right now they were separated, and so they had to wait until February 19th of 2001, which was when the ceremony of the eagle and the condor would take place. And then once that ceremony was take place, that ceremony reunited the tribes of North and South America. The eagle was the North America and the condor was South America. And so there were about 250 tribes, roughly, that were involved in that ceremony in Guatemala. And then once that took place, then tribes from all over, all the way up to the Eskimos up in Alaska, on a single period, they coordinated their work, and on over a three-day period, tribes, probably at least 1,000 tribes, were involved in doing ceremony for those 3 days for the sole purpose of getting this energy to move across the Panama Canal, because Panama Canal was the largest geomancy ever take place on Earth, and it actually separated energetically North and South America. And so it worked. After 3 days, that energy went across the canal, and then it moved all over South America, and about 9 months later, into 2002, it arrived into the mountains of the Andes Mountains in northern Chile, where there were 112 tribes sitting in a circle waiting for this energy, because they knew exactly where it was going to go. And then that energy came in and went into there. And this was the beginning of a new consciousness. It wasn't completed yet. There were still more things that had to take place. You have to understand, Jake, that since The Serpent of Light was written, so much has taken place. It's so much, it's another book. That manuscript was turned in on June of 2007. In July of 2007, the head of the Mayan nation, that's Don Alejandro Cerrillo, just to explain who he is, there are 440 Mayan tribes in Mexico, Belize, and Guatemala. Each one has an elder, and those 440 elders make up the Mayan council, and then they vote in one of them to be their leader or their president, and that was Don Alejandro Cerrillo. And he came to Sedona, where I live, and asked for a meeting. And in that meeting, he was asking me to do something for them. And that is like I said, that everything that you have ever read about the Mayans, the Mayan calendar, all the works about the Mayans, anything you've ever picked up and read, was not written by Mayans. It was written by governments, by universities, archaeologists, ordinary people. But they haven't written one word in 526 years. And so what he told me was that they were going to write down, they were first going to reinterpret all of their information, and that's a process that we're going through right now. And then at the end of that, which will be probably about this time next year, we don't know for sure yet, they're going to write all of this into their prophecy for 2012 and into a book, which will hopefully enlighten the world about what is about to happen, because there are some unbelievable changes that are about to occur, if they're correct. But it's not just them. The whole indigenous world that I'm aware of, all over, from Africa to Australia to New Zealand, to the American Indians, everywhere, they're all in agreement with this, that there are really big changes on the horizon.
Well, John Vallot, I think we all owe a great deal of appreciation and honor to these cultures who have kept the sacred knowledge of this particular time intact and did not release it until they felt it was the right time, and only they knew the right time. And it seems like we are the people, and this is the time that this particular knowledge is going to be released, because we will need this knowledge. And what a great gift to mankind for these people to offer this to us right now. Well, this book is full of incredibly astounding pieces of information. And another one that John Vallot did work on and work with others on is this unity consciousness grid that really surrounds the whole planet, that really connects everything all together. And it is something that perhaps you could speak about a little bit.
Yes, and that's a huge part. That grid has just been born. It's only 5 months old right now. What that is all about is that every single species on Earth, and in about 1900 there were approximately 30 million species. Now depending on who you talk to, roughly half the life on Earth has become extinct. We are dying very quickly. And every species has to have a unique electromagnetic geometrical field that surrounds the entire Earth. Even if there's just two little bugs walking around, they can't exist without that field first. And this is not outside of science, though it's on the cutting edge of science. There is a grid that surrounds the Earth that is our level of consciousness, that we are familiar with, our particular human level. And that was discovered by the United States in the 1950s. And then there is another grid, which is the one we are about to move to, the new level of consciousness that humankind is about to be. And we just call it the unity consciousness. And that grid was discovered by Russia in the 60s. And so science knows that they're there because they're electromagnetic. You can pick them up. They're very cold. They sit at about 4 degrees Kelvin, so they're not easily picked up. But if you had the computing power and everything else, you can see the grid for every single living form on Earth. It ends up just being a glow of light around the planet. I mean, 13,000 years ago, we had a pole shift, and that caused the continents to go up and down, and one of them was a continent that is not fully accepted by science, but which we called Atlantis. And that continent completely disappeared under the water. And right prior to that taking place, we had already achieved this higher level of consciousness, and we lost it. It's very rare, but it's what happened. And the grid was dissolved. And so it was determined that by very high levels of consciousness that we could recreate that grid synthetically, since we had already achieved that level of consciousness once before. Normally, they would never let you do that. You'd have to do it naturally, which takes millions of years. And so that began with the building of the Great Pyramid, and then they continued. And that they continued to build pyramids and temples and special buildings and connections with pools of water and lakes and different, even under the ocean, all kinds of 83,000 sacred sites were all connected together through geomancy to focus the energies coming off the Earth in such a way to create this grid back again. It took actually 13,200 years to do this. And what is interesting is that there's a man named Carl Monk who presented the information into the United Nations about this grid that it blew their minds, and they still don't know what to think about this. But he proved that whoever created these 83,000 sacred sites all over the world, it was a single mind that did it, even though it stretches over 13,200 years. Because what he discovered is that you could go to any pyramid in the world or any temple in the world, and if you know how to read it from the external codes of what the inner, from just by visually looking at a photograph of it, it has a code within it, and that code will tell you where another pyramid is, and it'll tell you exactly on the surface of the Earth, even its altitude above sea level. And then it will also tell you exactly what it's going to look like, precisely what the external surface of that new one looks like. You go there, you go to those exact coordinates, and there it is, and there is the exact building that the other one predicts. Then that one will predict another one somewhere else in the world, and you keep going. They've done this with about 250 different pyramids, and they can't break it. And you keep going around the world. But what's interesting is that there's no time sequence. In other words, some of the pyramids will predict where another pyramid will be and what it's going to look like, but it could have been built either before or after that pyramid. And so there's no logic to how that could possibly be. But it's scientific, it's fact, they've proven it, and now they just have to understand what it means. Is that whoever created all these pyramids everywhere was of one consciousness. It wasn't something that one Indian tribe just built something, or the Egyptians built this, or the Mayans built that. No. These pyramids were specifically located precisely in a place in order to create this energetic grid above the earth. The grid was completed in about 1989, but it wasn't totally focused, and there had to be corrections made to it. And that's what's in that book, is the corrections that had to be completely finished and fulfilled. And then since that time, since the book was even written, in January of this year, the Arapa Nui in Chile invited us to come to do ceremony, which was the last correction on that grid that needed to be done. And we went there and did ceremony with the Arapa Nui, which completed the grid. And then immediately after that, we were invited by the king and the queen of the Polynesian world to come and do the birthing of that. And we and in Morea, which is the south pole of the Christ or the Unity Grid, ceremony was done with the Polynesians and with people from all over the world. There were, I don't know how many, 20 or so nations were involved in this. And that began the birthing process, which happened to be on the exact day when the sun and the earth and the moon were in perfect alignment, and the shadow of the lunar eclipse went directly over where we were doing the ceremony.
My goodness. It's an absolutely amazing story. Do you have any idea who, for number one, who built the pyramids in Egypt or in Mexico, Yucatan?
Well, my understanding of all this is not in accordance with the Egyptian government, because the Egyptian government is limited to their ability to accept information based on the Quran. The Quran says that creation began about 6,000 years ago, and when you go back further than that, they can't accept it because it's older than what the Quran says. But the Great Pyramid was built approximately 13,200 years ago, and it was built by Ra, Thoth, and Ararat in conjunction with each other. And even things that are so outrageous as what I'm about to say, they built it from the top down. And when that was introduced to the Egyptian government, they tried to disprove me when I said this. And they went up and they carefully looked at the grout that was, which is actually glass, in between the things. They did a whole search, and they came up with the fact is that the oldest stones are on the top and the youngest ones on the bottom. And even though they were able to prove that, they would never say it because it goes against everything they believe.
Well, it would certainly blow everyone's mind. That's the first time I've heard that. Would that be the same also with the South American pyramids?
No, I can't say that. I don't know that. A lot of the pyramids are poured, and I think they're going to find that the Great Pyramid and all of the pyramids that map out the underground city, there's a city underneath there that is huge, and they won't admit this yet either, though it's happened. It's 8 miles long, 6.5 miles wide, and one building that's 12 stories deep. The buildings that outline that are the buildings that are the exact stars that are in the constellation of Orion. And there have been books written on this, but it's now been documented, actually. And all of those buildings are made out of a stone that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world except there, the ones that are the surface stones that were on the external part of it. It's called coin and stone. It looks like nickels and dimes and pennies have been pushed into a liquid. Well, it was a liquid, and what the world's now determining is this liquid is becoming one of the most important building materials on the Earth today. It's called geopolymers. It's where you take Earth and you take a little chemical and you mix the two together and it turns it into a foam, and then when it's hardened, it looks just exactly like a rock. You can't tell it apart. The only difference is there's one little tiny little bonding energy that is different than a natural rock. And they believe that's what took place on Easter Island with those stones there, and at Sacsayhuaman in Peru, the same way, because they have found the same chemical link in those stones that they found in Egypt and in Easter Island. And we'll find out the truth of this. Geopolymers are going to change building construction on Earth forever. Right now, we are capable. We have duplicated some of these geopolymers, and we think we have one of the best ones in the world right now. This is the same material that's on the tiles on the space shuttle that enables it to get back into space because it doesn't burn. And so we have that same material, only in a foam, which would improve their machine a heck of a lot. And it doesn't burn up to 7,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's waterproof forever. But it's also what it is. It's an infrared mirror. 1 inch of it is equal to about 40 feet of insulation. And so the world is finding this out now. And the scientists that are building that are the ones that are saying, wow, this appears to be the same thing that we found on the external stones of the Great Pyramid.
My God, that's the first time I've ever heard of that. That's amazing, John Vallot. You also were involved with placing 8 crystals in 8 temples, which correspond to the also the 8 chakras of...
Oh, you mean in the Yucatan.
You were told,
yes, in the Yucatan,
where some of them needed to be, and some of them you kind of had to figure out yourself.
They wanted us to... Well, they're... I'm in a learning process, and so they showed me how to do the first 4, and they said, well, the last 4, you have to figure it out yourself. And it was fun and frustrating and a lot of other things.
I guess our time is rather limited, but basically now, what we're really looking forward to and what's really happening even right now is the movement of energy from the masculine to the feminine, and we're going to be seeing much more not only females in general, but the feminine energy coming out into the world and being expressed in all kinds of ways. I think that's what you're saying.
But in a brand new way that no one has ever seen before. You'll see this as it comes out. It'll be new and different. Things will be emerging from the female energy in a way that solutions for problems that we would have never thought of. I can't say what they are now because I just know the nature of how this works, and it's going to be an exciting time. In terms of that grid we were just talking about around the Earth at this moment is only 5 months old, the new consciousness grid. And time is different for those things. It's really only a few minutes old. It took 13,200 years just to do the gestation, and it took almost a month. I didn't explain the whole thing for it just to be born. It's now out, and we live in a new world right now. We just don't know it yet. We're not. It's too new. It's too different for us. The possibilities, the human potential of what we are capable of doing, is going to slowly emerge into the world, and we're going to realize that all of our fears of what we thought was happening and what we thought was ending and the way the environment collapsing and all the problems, they're really easy to solve because we will have a new set of abilities within us. And this is what the indigenous people, for the first time, they want to talk to us about this. And they want to tell us things about ourselves that we don't know. We think that we're the greatest thing that ever lived on this earth, but we're not. We're not even close. And we need to remember our past, because we can't go into the future if we can't remember our past. And all we've tried to do is to kill all the old tribes, and it's basically been genocide. And if that were to happen, if we were to get rid of the last ancient person, which are really our ancestors, it would mean certain doom for Earth. We can't do that.
No, we can't. And thank God that there are enough of them still here with the knowledge that we need. I'll ask you one more question now. On December the 21st, 2012, what should we expect?
Probably business as usual. This is what the Mayans are saying, is that they didn't come up with that date. That was Jose Agüeles, and they don't agree with him. That's the date of the precession of the equinoxes. What they said was that there was going to be a period of time called the end of time, and it's about 7 or 8 years long, and that the changes that they're going to predict take place within that time. The beginning of the end of time was on October 24th, 2007. We're now inside the end of time. And how they know that is, if you remember, there was a comet that came in October of 2007, and it blew up, and it became a huge ball, a sphere of blue light. And it rapidly became larger than the sun. It is now recorded as the largest object ever recorded within the solar system ever, that anybody ever knows about. And that sphere of blue light was predicted by the Hopi prophecy 200 years ago. And it has now been accepted by the Mayans. And the Hopi and the Mayans, by the way, their prophecies are identical, they say. And the Hopi are actually Mayan, which contradicts everything that the archaeologists know about them. And this blue sphere is the sign of that, of we're now into this very special moment. So exactly when these changes are going to take place, all the Mayans will tell us right now is sometime during the end of time, which we're now in. So they doubt. He's told me that Don Alejandro Cerrillo has told me eyeball to eyeball. They doubt seriously if that will be the day when the change takes place, but it could happen at any time. And the time that many of the indigenous people talk about is May of 2010, much earlier. May and June of 2010, they feel that there will be some kind of huge change, but they won't tell me what it is yet, and I have to wait until they tell me.
So these, I had a discussion with another guest, and very briefly what I asked him, he was predicting that we were in the end times, which of course we are in the end of a certain time of consciousness. If our consciousness did not change, we wouldn't make it, correct?
That's right. If we don't make a change within ourselves of how we perceive the world or the universe, each other, we have to see ourselves differently. Right now, we're in our bodies looking out through our eyes, thinking that what's outside of us has nothing to do with us. It's just kind of separate from us, and that we can think anything or feel anything or do anything, and no, it doesn't make any difference. But that's not the truth. And slowly, as we begin to understand who we really are and what this is really all about, there is a transformation that's going to take place in every single human being on Earth. And it's amazing. And when this takes place, we will be different. We really won't be human anymore, because we're going to go beyond that. We're going to be something else. And it's a beautiful thing that's about to happen. But on one level, it's kind of scary.
Now, on the other side of the coin, I've had people on my program who are talking about being in the end times, being close to the time when World War III is going to break out and millions of people are going to die and Armageddon is going to happen and nuclear holocausts are going to prevail over the planet. And you're not exactly saying that, but how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree with them. That probably is going to happen. But they're not looking at the other side of the coin. there's two cycles, one cycle ending, one cycle beginning. The cycle that's ending, the old male cycle, yeah, it's going to dissolve. It's going to die. This was predicted 6,000 years ago in the Veda, when they talked about us at that about this people at this time, how we would learn about electricity and magnetism, how we would fly around in metal boxes and everything else. And then on a single day, we give it up, according to them, 6,000 years ago. And we leave this way of being, and we return to a way that is much older, really, than the way that we are now. And it's hard to even imagine these kind of changes because they're so big, and they're so huge, and they're so fast. The changes that the Mayans are talking about are 20 hours long, and we're in a different world. We wake up one morning, the next we go to bed that night, and it's a completely and totally different world. This is what they're saying.
Well, I think you're right, Drunvalo. I think it is one of the most amazing times on the planet to be alive and to see these kind of things happening around us, and to also realize that through some of the scary things that are happening, that there are on the other side are some really truly amazing possibilities for everyone to partake in, and let's concentrate on those things and make sure that we all get there.
It's truly a blessing to be alive now. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing. It's just letting go of the old way and accepting something brand new. And we already know this. It's in all of us. This is not something we have to learn. This is a remembering process. We just have to remember who we are and what this is really all about. It's already fact. We already are this higher level of being. We just have to remember it because we've already achieved it long before. And once we do, we're going to discover something about ourselves that I'm not going to go into right now, but is amazing. Absolutely incredible who we are. And this is the indigenous people just want to help us. They want us to make this transition because they know that the way we are now, we're just killing the earth. We're killing each other. We're killing everything. And we have no way out. There's, you know, science put us in this place, technology put us here, and we have no way out. They don't know the answers for these things. And we've got environmental problems way bigger than global warming. We're not even aware of them. We're not even aware of the oxygen levels that are dropping all over the world and the oxygen levels that are dropping in the oceans that will destroy us completely, or the ozone that is just will be completely gone within a few more years. There's a million things, but all of those things will be meaningless the moment we make the transition within ourselves, because it'll just be absolutely meaningless. We will be able to step beyond it and be able to survive, and not only survive, but we will be able to grow into a new level of existence. This is not just a theory, not to the indigenous people all over the world, because they've seen it. They've seen it happen before. They know what is about to occur, and I think we should listen to them.
Well, Drunvalo Melchizedek, it's been such a privilege and a pleasure to be able to spend almost an hour with you to talk about your work and your new book, the exciting book called The Serpent of Light, Beyond 2012.
Well, thank you, Jake. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And just stay happy, don't worry, because what's going to come is really good.
Well, thanks again, Drunvalo, and I'll tell all my listeners you can stay happy too. And if you'd like to read this book, which I think you all should, it's very interesting with much more information that we've had a chance to discuss now, you can go to our website at www.authorsaudio.com. and click on the book icon, the Serpent of Light book icon, which will either be on the featured author's page or eventually it will be in the archives section. And that'll take you directly to Amazon.com where you can pick up the book. And thank you for listening. And as I say, until next time, keep dreaming and happy reading. This is Jake D. Steele saying goodbye for now.